Thanks for the songs. Good choices this morning. We are going to, do I need to raise this up? Am I on? Thank you. We, by the way, when we sing these hymns, I can't see a word in those books. I just kind of look down and move my lips. I can't see a thing. That's why, I don't know if you see this, this is the size that I write. This is the size I write, so I didn't have to wear glasses. So it's a little bit bigger. But anyway, as we just celebrated our Independence Day, we're going to talk about that today a little bit. We're going to open with a video some of you may have seen, some of you may have not, but Zach's going to play this. This is from a Baptist pastor. His name is Robert Jeffers, good man of God, and this is the choir from his church, and so Zach's going to play this video for you guys.
Thank you.
Proud to be an American? Okay, let me ask you something. Did you hear anything? That's one of our best well-known patriotic songs. Did you hear any words in there about the United States, about America? It's a song about Jesus. The whole song is about Christ. And we've adopted that as one of our most beloved Christian hymns or patriotic hymns. Pastor Michael Youssef said this, although this document, talking about the Declaration of Independence, was called the Declaration of Independence, it was really a declaration of dependence. While America's forefathers sought independence from the British crown, they signed a declaration of dependence on Almighty God. Americans don't believe that anymore. We have what's called revisionists. This is not a conservative versus liberal, Republican versus Democrat. It's God's people versus people who want God removed. And we have revisionists. Revisionists are people who want to revisit history and rewrite it to fit their agendas. And so you young people especially, you're going to go away and you're going to hear in your schools all the way from grade school on up till you graduate college that this isn't a Christian nation. That our founding fathers were not Christians, that they did not come here to establish a nation where we could practice Christianity. That's what they teach you in schools. So today, we are going to look at what the people who were really there said about it, the founding fathers. And since they were there 240-some years ago, and the professors in our schools and the liberal pastors in our churches weren't there, we're going to go ahead and believe what the people who actually wrote the Declaration of Independence said. And so I'm going to give you guys these. It's not so much a sermon about Christ, except as far as how these men believed. And you're going to hear Jesus' name mentioned a lot because these men were Christians, and this is a Christian nation. And the reason Columbus sailed to America, by the way, America was discovered by Leif Erikson about 500 years before Columbus. Leif Erikson was himself a very devout Christian. Columbus was a Christian. And the reason he came looking for gold, yes, he was looking for a passage to the Indies, and he stumbled upon South America, Central America. The reason he came was so he could get gold and money so that he could fund the king and queen in Spain were devout Christians, and they wanted to fund the Crusades to fight against the Muslims in the Holy Land. And the reason Columbus sailed was to get gold to finance the Crusades to fight against the Muslims. They don't teach you that anymore. The Bible has a few things to say about countries, about nations. Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. A lot of you guys put this up on Facebook this week. We're going to look at the facts today. The real story from the men who were there. Some of these names will be familiar to you. Maybe not. Everybody should know the name George Washington. Everybody should know Benjamin Franklin. Some of the names you never heard of before. That's okay. But we're going to look at this country and why this country was formed from the people who were there. Samuel Adams. Samuel Adams was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, and he was the father of the American Revolution. He's the one that drew up the war plans against the British. I conceive we cannot better express ourselves than by humbly supplicating the supreme ruler of the world, by the promoting and speedily bringing in the holy and happy period when the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may be everywhere established, and the people willingly bow to the scepter of him who is the Prince of Peace, and above all to cause the religion of Jesus Christ and his true spirit to spread far and wide until the whole earth shall be filled with his glory. This is one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. Let me ask you something. Think this guy was a Christian? Why does he say they signed the Declaration of Independence? So that the glory of Jesus Christ could spread throughout the whole world from the United States. His words, not mine. Josiah Bartlett. Anybody ever heard Josiah Bartlett's name? I know Tim has. Signer of the Declaration of Independence, governor of New Hampshire, called on the people of New Hampshire to confess before God their aggravated transgressions, that's their sins, and to implore his pardon and forgiveness through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, that the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ may be made known to all nations, pure and undefiled religion, universally prevail, and the earth to be filled with the glory of the Lord. This is a guy that signed the Declaration of Independence. Listen, only 56 people signed these documents. It's not like there were hundreds of them, okay? So we've already seen two. Where are they coming from? They came here, and listen, when they put their name on the bottom of the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, okay? When they put that name on that, it was a death sentence. The British would hound them and hunt them until they lie in their grave, these people. So this weren't just words coming out of their mouths. Elias Boudinot, who knows who that is? Anybody? I didn't. President of Congress, signed the peace treaty to end the Revolutionary War. Framer of the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights, if you don't know, are the first 10 amendments to the Constitution of the United States. They gave us freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom to own guns, and that kind of stuff, okay? Let us enter on this important business. The important business is the forming of a new nation, under the idea that we are Christians on whom the eyes of the world are now turned. Let us earnestly call and beseech him for Christ's sake to preside in our councils. That's our government, our classrooms, our everyday life. Listen, your professors are going to stand up here, guys, and they're going to tell you that this is not a Christian nation, that it was never meant to be a Christian nation. Listen, they weren't there. They just want us to believe their version of the truth, which is actually a lie. John Dickinson, signer of the United States Constitution. The great, vital, and conservative element in our system is the belief of our people in the pure doctrines and the divine truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Were these guys Christians that formed this nation? You better believe they were. Note that all these people, by the way, they didn't use generic terms like God. We came here to spread the gospel of God, or we came here to talk about God. They specifically used the name Jesus, who is the Christ. They weren't afraid to speak the name of Christ. Benjamin Franklin, signer of the Declaration of Independence, signer of the U.S. Constitution. Now listen, there's some debate as to whether Franklin was a Christian or not, and a lot of that comes from Franklin himself, because he never came out and answered that question. But he did say this: as to Jesus of Nazareth, my opinion of whom you particularly desire, where do you stand on this, Ben? I think the system of morals and his religion, as he left them to us, the best the world ever saw or is likely to see. Eldridge Gerry. Eldridge Gerry was a framer of the Bill of Rights, Vice President of the United States. With one heart and voice, we may prostrate ourselves. That's this, getting down with your face on the ground at the throne of heavenly grace and present to our great benefactor sincere and unfeigned thanks, no fakeness here, for his infinite goodness and mercy towards us, from our birth to the present moment, for having above all things illuminated us by the gospel of Jesus Christ, presenting to our view his the happy prospect of a blessed immortality, supposed to be the. Remember, only 56 men signed this Constitution, and we're hearing what they all had to say, why they put their names on this, why they risked their lives. And listen, there's something else. These guys were filthy rich, and they risked their fortunes, and a lot of them died penniless because they were hounded by the British after they signed this document. John Hancock, you guys should know that name. Signer of the Declaration of Independence, President of Congress. He was a general in the Revolutionary War and the governor of Massachusetts. And he called on the nations to pray that all nations may bow to the scepter of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that the whole earth may be filled with his glory. That the spiritual kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may be continually increasing until the whole earth shall be filled with his glory. To confess their sins and to implore forgiveness of God through the merits of the Savior of the world. To cause the benign religion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be known, understood, and practiced among who? All the inhabitants of the earth. This is why the United States was formed. This is why these men came. This is why we fought the Revolutionary War. Okay? So that the gospel of Jesus Christ could go into all the world. To confess their sins before God and implore his forgiveness through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You think John Hancock was a Christian? you bring up the first slide, Zach, please? Here's John Hancock's signature at the bottom of the United States Constitution. Now listen, everybody, you've probably heard the phrase, just put your John Hancock right there. It's become, the name John Hancock has become synonymous with signature. Put your John Hancock there, sign your John Hancock to this. Okay, the reason is because his name was the biggest on the United States Constitution. Now listen, there's all kind of stories that are not true about why his name is so big. The prevailing story is that he wanted the King of England to be able to distinguish his name. If you want to come after me, here I am. And the quote goes that he said, even okay, old King George ought to be able to read that one okay. The truth is much simpler. The truth is, as the president of Congress, he was the first one to sign it, and he was in a room all by himself when he signed it, and he simply put his name on there expecting everybody else would sign their name in the same large letters. And so it's not that his name is too big, it's everybody else signed too small. And that's why we know the name John Hancock. The colonialists sought independence from Great Britain. Big deal. Listen, Great Britain was the most powerful military force that the world has ever known when the Americans took them on in the Revolutionary War. So that you get an idea of just how powerful Great Britain was, at the time of the Revolutionary War, the Middle East was a colony. Iran, Iraq, Turkey, Israel, Jordan, they were all a colony of Great Britain. All of India was a colony of Great Britain. South American countries were colonies of Great Britain. Ireland, Scotland, Canada, all British property. They had just finished fighting an eight-year war against their bitterest enemies, the French, and they had conquered France. This is where the British entered the war against America. At one time or another, at the time of the Revolutionary War, 90% of the world's countries had been under the rule of Great Britain. This was no small gathering of soldiers that were fighting. It's the most powerful military in the world. And this is what our forefathers fought for, our freedoms and for the cause of Christ. We, on the other hand, had a few thousand farmers and pastors and politicians. We had no organized military. We had nothing. God formed this nation. And God brought these people to America. And God performed miracles on our behalf. We could do a whole year's worth of sermons on the miracles through the Revolutionary War and the French and Indian War and the Civil War and the War of 1812 and World War I and World War II and on up through Korea, Afghanistan, Vietnam. 1776, George Washington and 9,000 of our few remaining troops are stuck and they're trapped by the British. They're up in New York and the East River flows here, and Washington, his 9,000 men are here on this side, and here's the East River, and here's Washington and his guys, and the only escape was over here. The British were behind them, and the British are over here, and the British have their warships, the greatest warships in the world, and they're ready to sail up the harbor. And if these warships get up the harbor, Washington is killed, and the 9,000 men are taken prisoner, and America's done, doomed, it's over. Washington contemplated what to do. And as he contemplated that, a strong wind came up. They were sailing vessels at this time, if you didn't know. We didn't have motors and engines, okay? They're sailing vessels. And so a strong wind comes up, and the British Navy is here ready to sail. Well, they're coming in the port, and they're ready, well, I guess for you guys it'd be, but they're ready to sail in the port, and they're going to come in here, and they're going to destroy the United States before it gets started. And a strong east wind comes up and blows for 3 days. And so for 3 days, they can't move their navy because God's fighting against their sails. And so Washington's contemplating what to do. And he gets word to the other side of the river for everybody that can to bring boats, whatever you have, rowboats, little sailing vessels, whatever you have. And so the word got out. And so under cover of darkness, Washington and his men began to cross the East River. And once you got across the East River, you got into the woods, and they just disappeared into the woods. And so when morning came the next day, there were still thousands of men on the wrong side of the river. And so, once again, if the British knew what they were doing, they'd have closed in and ended the United States. So God caused a great fog from many witnesses, many. You couldn't see that far in front of your face if the fog was so thick. And he surrounded the Americans with this fog. The British, both sides report this as an incident, by the way, the British and the Americans. And he surrounded them with this thick fog until every American soldier was across the East River, and as the last soldier ran off into the woods, the fog lifted. And the British had no idea where they went and what happened to them. And so Washington and our men lived to fight another day, preserving the United States. Patrick Henry, kids, what quote is Patrick Henry known for? Any young people know? What's he known for? Okay, let me tell you, it's really sad that you don't know this. Not on you guys' part, but on the part of the people you have as teachers, as history teachers. Okay? What did Patrick Henry say? Mike? That's one, and what's the other? Give me liberty or give me death. He was willing to lay down his life. Okay, this is one of the most famous quotes in world history. I'm not sure what they teach anymore. Not knocking teachers, because teachers have the hardest job in the world. My dad was a teacher for 33 years. It's a hard job, probably the hardest job in the world. But this is revisionist history. So you get the revisionists coming in, and they want to rewrite history, and so they don't teach you guys things like this. Patrick Henry was a ratifier of the United States Constitution. A ratifier was someone who has read the document and then put a stamp of approval on it. And this is what he said. Being a Christian is a character which I prize far above all this world has or can boast. The Bible is a book worth more than all the other books that were ever printed. Think he was a Christian? Samuel Huntington, signer of the Declaration of Independence. It becomes a people publicly to acknowledge the overruling hand of divine providence and their dependence upon the supreme being as a creator and merciful preserver. And with becoming humility and sincere repentance to supplicate the pardon that we may obtain forgiveness through the merits and mediation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John Jay. Anybody know who John Jay was? John Jay was the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Condescend, merciful Father, to grant us as far as proper these imperfect petitions, to accept these inadequate thanksgivings, and to pardon whatever sin has mingled in them for the sake of Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior, unto whom with thee and the blessed Spirit, ever one God, be rendered all honor and glory now and forever. Francis Scott Key. By the way, young people, it's not your fault that you don't know that that stuff. Francis Scott Key, what's he known for? What did he write? Star Spangled Banner, our national anthem. May I always hear that you are following the guidance of that blessed Spirit that will lead you into all truth, leaning on that almighty arm that has been extended to deliver you, trusting only in the Savior and going on in your way to him rejoicing. In other words, may you live for Christ and may you die for Christ. When your time comes, may you go to him singing and rejoicing. September 14th, you know the story of the Star Spangled Banner? Who knows the real story? September 4th. For McHenry, that's what it was. September 14th, 1814. Listen, 1814, you thought the war ended in 1776, didn't you? Here we are 30-some years later, and we're still fighting the British for freedom. Francis Scott Key wasn't a soldier, he was a lawyer. And the British had a prominent American doctor on one of their ships. And some people thought he was a traitor, and some people didn't. They went back and forth. But anyway, they sent Francis Scott Key to negotiate with the British for the release of this man. And so Key's out there on the water, and this takes place just a few days after the British have sacked and burned Washington, D.C. to the ground. And now they're moving up to our last fort, Fort McHenry. This is the last one we have. And so the flag's flying. Both men were held captive on this ship as this battle began to take place. Can you bring up the next slide, please, Zach? This is what Patrick Henry's watching as he writes the Star Spangled Banner. Here's our flag right here. And he's watching this from these ships. This is Fort McHenry. The attack lasted for 25 hours. It began at 7 a.m. on September 13th. The flag was sewn by Mary Pickersgill and it waved over Fort McHenry. And Scott Key, on the vessel held by the British, began to write these words. And as you see them, remember that he didn't know the outcome of the battle. When he wrote the Star Spangled Banner, he didn't know who was going to win this battle. And when you keep this in perspective, the words will make more sense to you. The song was originally a poem titled Defense of Fort McHenry. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming? As the sun set the day before, September 13th, the sun is setting. Our flag still waves over Fort McHenry. They've been under attack for about 14 hours by this point. But still, our flag stands. We're holding ground. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. So the picture that Zach put up for you guys, you can see the bombs. What would happen is some of the British bombs would explode too early. They would explode in the sky. And Francis Scott Key's watching from the ship, and from the light of these bombs bursting, he could see that the American flag's still flying over Fort McHenry. At last dawn came and the guns fell silent. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. The war was over. America won. You see, that little flag, if it was a British flag, we were once again a British colony. America was done. But it was an American flag. It was our last holdout, our last chance, and we won. And that's what the Star Spangled Banner is about, and that's what the words point to. The American flag still waved in the wind. The poem, by the way, finishes like this. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, and God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. We're a Christian nation. The people who pledged their lives were Christians. This was formed as a Christian nation, no matter what lies you hear out there in the world, guys. That's my hear 'em too. George Mason. George Mason's the man who wrote the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the Constitution. I give and bequeath my soul to Almighty God that gave it to me, hoping that through the mysterious death and passion of our Savior and Redeemer Jesus Christ to receive absolution and remission for all my sins. Timothy Pickering, Revolutionary War General, ratifier of the United States Constitution, Secretary of War. We do not grieve as those who have no hope in the resurrection to a life immortal. Here, the United States, the believers in Christianity manifest the superior advantages, for life and immortality were brought to light by the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why they came to America. This is why America is a nation. This is why we have fireworks and celebrate. Benjamin Rush, and I'll skip a few for time's sake, but Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence, ratifier of the U.S. Constitution, father of American medicine, and the first head of public schools in America. I do not believe that the Constitution was the offspring of inspiration, but I am as satisfied that it is as much the work of a divine providence as any of the miracles recorded in the Old and New Testaments. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, we didn't come up with this stuff on our own. We didn't come up with the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and all this stuff. We didn't make this stuff up. We were divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, just like the writers of the Old Testament and the New Testament were. These things come right from God. That's what he says. By the way, he also predicted, you don't have to bring this one up, Zach. He also predicted when America would fall. It's 240 years ago. Listen, when we persuade mankind that it's improper to read the Bible in school. Now listen, we'll skip a few of these, but just so you have an idea, 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence, and 56 men talked about why they did it, and 56 men mentioned the name of Jesus Christ. This is a Christian nation. It was formed as a Christian nation. These men gave their lives. George Washington, to the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian. Well, you're good, Zach. I skipped over a whole bunch here. You see what George Washington's saying here? It's great to be called an American. It's great to be called a patriot. It's great to be called, put whatever you want in there. But above all, the greatest thing you can be called is a Christian. George Washington. If you still doubt that the Founding Fathers meant for this to be a Christian nation, one last quote. John Witherspoon. Deb, can you play, please? Thank you. Christ Jesus, the promise of old made unto the fathers, the hope of Israel, and he put the Bible verses in, the light of the world, the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes, is the only Savior of sinners. If you are not reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, if you are not clothed with the spotless robe of his righteousness, you must forever perish. He is the best friend to American liberty, the most sincere and active in promoting true and undefiled religion. He's talking about America there. Sets himself with the greatest firmness to bear down profanity and immorality of every kind. In other words, he was ready to judge all these things. He ended his quote like this. Whoever is an avowed enemy of God, I scruple not, I'm not hesitant, to call him an enemy of his country. Signer of the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution. You see what he says? If you're an enemy of God, you're an enemy of the United States. These are the guys who were there. I believe there's only two countries in the world that God established by divine providence, Israel and the United States. And I believe the reason that he established the United States is to protect Israel. And I believe that God will continue to bless this nation no matter what our politicians do, as long as we continue to protect and fight for Israel. The day may come. People say the U.S. isn't listed in end times prophecy. Maybe it may not be. But the time may come when we turn our back on Israel. And at that time, God's going to lift his hand of protection from us. We started with the verse, the Lord blesses the nation whose God is the Lord. God had something else to say about nations. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. It's a two-sided coin. I'll bless those countries that are on my side and those countries that are against me. Woe to you. God's words. Interesting note here. Look, all the nations that forget God will be turned into hell where God will forget them. The men who signed the Declaration of Independence risked everything. They were snubbing the King of Great Britain who didn't like to be snubbed. 56 men signed the document. 9 of them died fighting the Revolutionary War. Many of them had wives and children captured and killed by the British. 5 of them were captured, imprisoned, and tortured. 12 of them had their houses burned to the ground. 17 lost every penny they had. And 0 people deserted. Because he didn't come here for themselves. So if you're in it for yourself, you're going to run it the first sign of trouble. No matter what you do in life, if you're in it for just you, when things go bad, you're going to bail. You're going to jump ship. They did it for Christ. They came here for the cause of Jesus Christ. They came here for God and for country. Man, we need men like that again. I love you guys. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Where the deacons come down from.